No, I wasn't even in town. I got back today.
Okay.
But I want to say something now. I understand. I heard MacArthur back when he was talking about that, and there's some others that are talking about that right now where they're saying that a person will be able to accept the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. At the time, I said it's great heresy. It will lead to the damnation of untold millions. It needs not to ever be said, and they need to repent. I've been told that MacArthur has lately changed his opinion and has backed away from that, and I hope that he has. I don't know if that's true or not. I hope that he has. But here, let's just go back to my example a moment ago. Imagine if you take a biometric chip, which according to molecular biologists are already, they're already in existence. Some of the medical chips that we're talking about right now, you can read about them online. That's what they do. They alter your genetics. Now, it could be that they're, you know, they're going to lead to a cure to cancer and a lot of other things, and the world's going to warmly embrace it, and there's a lot in biotechnology that might actually turn out to be very good. But when it comes to the mark of the beast, here's the problem. So let me give it to you in a couple of points. Remember this. Put this to memory. It was not the Nephilim who repented. Now, the watchers, their creators, the fallen angels, they're the ones in the ancient literature that went to God and sought God, please, to forgive and to allow a redemption for their offspring, the Nephilim, which God did not do, and he said they can't be redeemed according to the ancient literature. But no, it was the watchers. It was the parentage. It was never the Nephilim. They never repented. They didn't want to repent. So here's the question. If you receive a smart biometric chip that literally reconstructs your DNA, who is to say that hours after you receive it, you would ever want to repent? If you are something like the Nephilim, you're never going to want to repent. So telling people that they can receive the mark of the beast and then later change their mind and get saved could be an enormous, gigantic, satanic setup because they're never going to want to. Once that has gone like a retrovirus through their system, changed their genetic makeup, changed the way they think, changed what they are, they're now a fit extension for something very dark, and never at any point will they ever want to repent. And there's no place, by the way, in the book of Revelation, when it talks about those who receive the mark of the beast, where it says, oh, and a lot of them decided they didn't want the mark of the beast, they repented and they were saved. That's not what it says. It says, they shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture out of the cup of his indignation. It says, the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and ever, whosoever receives the mark of the beast. So what I'm telling you is, don't buy this demonic lie. You cannot receive the mark of the beast according to the Bible. Now, some preacher may tell you that, but according to the Scripture, you cannot receive it and then decide you're going to just change your mind and be saved. I will tell you what you will need. You will need great faith. You will need to be super strong. You will need to be filled with the Spirit, and there are going to be tons of church attenders who are going to say, forget it, I can't face this, and they're going to receive the mark of the beast. And according to the book of Revelation, they're going to be damned forever. And those preachers who are out there right now telling people they can receive it and be saved, man, I don't know whose side they're on. I'm not questioning whether or not those guys are saved, but they are so deluded that it is terrifying. It makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck, Steve, Doug, and Joe.
Yeah.
Well, I have a pastor. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doug. Go ahead.
No, I just have to just reinforce much of this is talked about in Beast Tech, and I've got a copy right here, read it, and it's so extremely important. The only question I have is, we were told that we could not be fooled by fooled into accepting the mark, but yet we could. I suppose the context or the pretext could be a setup, is what you're saying. Is that right?
Yeah, the pretext. No, I don't think anybody can be fooled. I don't think you'll get it and then go, oh, wait, what did I just do? I don't think that'll happen. And that's why I say that I think it would be prefaced by, if you take this, it is, now, and by the way, this is only one scenario. It may not play out this way at all. All I'm trying to do is provide a scenario that illustrates how, literally, overnight, all of the world could be put into a situation where they'd have to make a decision. But I think at that point, I think that essentially the powers that be or whatever, the information would be available. If you take this, you will no longer be human. Now, that's one scenario. That may not be the way it happens. I think that information will be available so that people will know. If you take this, it's the game changer, right? And then I think there'll be enough Hagmans and Quails and Horns out there saying this is the mark of the beast. And people who are spirit-filled, what does the Bible teach us? You're never alone. The Holy Spirit will show you those things that you need to know. If you're spirit-filled and dedicated to God, you're going to know at that moment that this is wrong, that you shouldn't do it, and you're going to make a decision against your conscience. You're going to know that it's wrong. You're going to do it anyway. How much time do we have? Because there's one final thing, if I have time, I'd like to say something about.
About 10 minutes, so fire away.
Okay, I there's no way we can deal with this in 10 minutes. G.F. Pember, Earth's Earliest Ages, he thoroughly examined Matthew chapter 24. This is the book Steve Quayle's recommending you get, and that I'm saying if you buy Beast Tech and put it into the notes there, I heard you on Hagman, I'm going to tell Survivor Mall to send you that book for nothing. What he did was he examined Matthew 24 thoroughly. He was an extraordinary theologian, one of my absolute favorites of all time. But what he determined was that there were seven signs in Matthew 24, but the seventh and most fearful sign would be the return on earth, physically, of the giants, the Nephilim. And in his day, that was an extraordinary claim.